Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live or to an archive or a replay, I want to welcome you. I want to let you know it is the 9th of June at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. Short, about 3 minutes. I was late. I know. Truth, I messed around too long this morning and, well, I was late and it's my fault. I'm self-employed. What am I going to do? Fire myself? I mean, it's inconsiderate, and I'll try not to do it to you guys again. But, you know, it's just the way life works sometimes. It is pouring rain here. Scott's still in bed. The dogs are all still in bed. This house is just, well, it's too peaceful and nice. Such is life. Anyway, hello and welcome. I want to let you know we're over in the chat room. You can find us by heading over to 12radio.com, click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that you can find me over on the live stream, and that's happening over on YouTube. Just look for Domestic Mystic on YouTube, Katie Weaver, Domestic Mystic, and you'll find me. So simple enough, plenty of ways to listen. I used to live stream on Facebook too, and Facebook is acting all weird. I can't send the Daily Dish to Facebook anymore. I can't live stream to Facebook anymore. It keeps saying that my account needs verified and to follow these instructions, which I do. That takes me on a road to nowhere. So I don't know what to say, but you're lost, Facebook. There you go. Oh, it is a wild week in our family. My niece Mia is getting married on Saturday. And all three of my kids are in the line. So there's been a lot of wedding prep on their part and also on ours. We had the honor, and this is the honor, of being able to pay for her hair and makeup, which has been really fun. I will say these kids have pretty much, they were prepared to just pay for their own wedding, which is great. But, you know, as aunties and uncles and their parents and grandmas and stuff, they've had people shoving money in their pockets, and I'm really glad. It's cool. Honestly, Mia's having the wedding she wants because she has enough people around her that can help her do that. She's also not an extravagant bridezilla, but it's just really nice to see her just getting what she wants. No major compromises because it would just be too expensive. She's just getting what she wants. And by God, don't we deserve that sometimes? I've been to a lot of sad weddings where obviously the budget was about $6, you know? And hey, if that's how it is, that's how it is. I didn't have a huge budget wedding either, but I'm just happy to see her getting what she wants. I'm so tired of watching everybody have to compromise constantly. Nice to get what you want every once in a while, that's all. But you guys, my dress. It's a formal wedding. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm not a real formal guy. None of us are. Christy said, I think the fact that we're all preparing like mad for a formal wedding like this just shows what actual Idaho hicks maybe we are. I had nothing. I didn't have a dress. I didn't have shoes. I didn't have the undergarments for such a thing. I didn't have the jewelry. Nothing. But I do now. And Scott, oh my God, Scott ordered the most beautiful suit that'll match my dress. And I'm actually really excited for that. Pictures of us together are always, he's a full foot taller than I am. So they're always a little off, I think. Maybe I'll make him sit on a chair or something, but I promise a picture. I promise. And pictures of my gorgeous kids all done up and ready for this deal. But at any rate, it's exciting. Mia did inform me last week that she'd signed me up for a potato salad for the rehearsal dinner, which is fine. I told her I'd do whatever. But anyway, it's a potato salad for 40 people. 40! I'm not even sure how many potatoes to buy for that. I'm thinking it's more than a 10-pound bag. We'll find out. What you don't want to do is run out of the potato salad. That's a sin and a crime. Plus, the reason I'm bringing it is because I always make my mom's recipe and everyone loves that. And I got to represent. So, if you wonder what I'm doing on Friday, that'll be potato salad. Just all day. That's it. Nothing else. I have been busy in the classroom, and wouldn't you know, if you walked down into my classroom and looked into both of my kilns right now, my glass kilns, you discover two glass disasters in there. Two! Yeah. I have made an absolute mess in both of my kilns. I'm going to have to clean it up today. Ruined a ton of glass, some glass forms. Yeah. Now, fused glass is hard. Firing schedules are hard. It's hard because your kiln, regardless of the temperature it says it is, can vary from what someone else's is, and all the factors like your humidity and your elevation and what kind of glass you used and how thick it was and what brand it was and what coefficient it was. And there's a lot of things to consider, and things just sometimes work and sometimes they don't. But by God, these did not. I was so excited. I was going to have all these really cool pieces to show you guys today. I got nothing. Nothing. I could show you some pictures of ruined glass in the kiln, but that's not exciting or fun. I don't even know. I'm not even going to save this glass. Like, you can save glass like that and, like, bust it up and put it in heart molds or something. And I'm so mad at all of that glass that I'm really tempted to just throw it all in the garbage. I probably won't, because that's a lot of money you'd be throwing away, but damn it. I need to throw something away. Probably some of the kiln posts that got ruined. They will definitely be getting thrown away, but god damn it. I'd be more afraid of a pressure cooker blowing up. Kilns won't blow up, but what kilns could do is melt down, meaning if you weren't paying attention, you could have a kiln that that forgets to quit heating at the top number and just keeps going. It's why pottery kilns, at least the old school ones, and mine are all old school because if they were new school, I wouldn't be able to afford them. But the old school ones have what's called a kiln sitter, and it's this little device that you put a little piece of it's not clay, I can't remember what it is. Well, it might be bentonite, I don't know. It's this little piece of what looks like clay, and you stick it in the kiln sitter, and it's just kind of like balanced there. And when it gets to your top heat, which is known as your cone, it melts. And when it does that, it shuts the kiln off. It's a safety mechanism, which is good because those kilns, I fire at cone 6, which is about 2250 degrees. So I don't want to go above that. 2250 already feels diabolical when you get that close to it. So that one, I think sometimes you're safer with those because so long as the kiln sitter operates correctly, and there's no reason why it wouldn't, that's not electric. It's just, well, it is, but I mean, it's not digital, right? Now the glass kilns, this has never happened to me, but I know other people whose glass kiln malfunctioned in its programming and it heated way higher than it was supposed to. However, usually your kiln is going to trip your breaker before it's ever going to burn your house down. But I agree, Lillian. There's definitely a lot of caution to have when you're messing around with kilns, especially with that amount of heat, right? It's a lot. It's nothing to take lightly, that's for sure. Yeah. You can also, if you open really hot kilns to check things, you can burn yourself, you can burn your eyeballs. Like, there's a lot of things that could happen. You have to be super smart and careful. No question. Yeah. Hey, Maya. Hey, Quelly. Good to have everybody here. Anyway, so I'm gonna have to go clean those kilns out and I don't know, do an offering to the kiln gods for them to start being nice to me again? I don't know. They hate me. Maybe it was just my turn to have something fail. I did learn, though. And that's the thing I have to continually remind myself is that it's all about learning, and you just have to learn from your mistakes and also take good notes of things that didn't work and did so that you don't forget and do it again and just keep moving forward. But GLASS is definitely an exercise in patience and being willing to take some risks. I think that's probably the biggest piece of it. And sometimes those risks will fail and you'll ruin about $60 worth of glass. God damn it. Anyway, here we are. The show today is about honey. I've been talking the last few weeks about different sacred insects and sacred plants. And today I was thinking about sacred honey. Reason why, Mars has really turned me on to honey in my coffee. I usually don't drink sweet things. Well, I mean, I'll use like the sugar-free Torani or something like that, but I don't drink sugar because, well, that's just more sugar, right? I'm not diabetic, but it's just not good for you. So it's always been my policy. And I don't do a lot of that either because I can't drink carbonation at all. And so I mean I live on coffee once or twice a day and water. That's pretty much it for me. But lately, the sugar alcohols have been making me sick as hell. And so I mentioned it to my gastro last week and she said, "You know, a lot of people can't handle them or can't handle them long term." She's right. And I know Mars had already introduced me to honey in my coffee, and I mentioned it to her. I said, maybe I should just switch to honey. And she said, you know, she said, honey has great health benefits. It's way easier on your glycemic index. She goes, I recommend people drink honey all the time. She said, it's way easier on your stomach, and your body loves honey. And I thought, that is actually such good advice. And again, every time I go to the kids' house or Mars is home and she makes me a coffee, she always puts honey in it to sweeten it. It was one of the drinks that they made at the coffee shop she used to work at, and she really liked it that way, and it is so good. Maya said iced honey lattes are the best. Yes, they are, because the honey gets kind of suspended here and there, and you get a little like full blast honey in your straw. Yes, ma'am. But it got me thinking about honey, and then I read an article. Oh God, I read two articles. Hold on. One of them's making me a little ill, but you know, I'm going to tell you about it because I had to hear it. So do you. Honey being found in tombs. We already knew this, but honey being found in tombs. You know, that are several millennia old. That is still completely fine and edible. Isn't that insane? All right. Let me tell you something horrifying. Some scientists in Europe harvested yeast from the stomach contents of a mummy and they made bread. What I read was it was sourdough bread. They made bread with that yeast and they ate it. And they said it was the best bread they'd ever had. And I would like to die on the spot. But, right? What the fuck? Who says, who goes, hey, you know what we could do with those stomach contents? We could eat it! What? No! I also feel like that might just be, you know, opening yet another portal to hell. Seems like many have been opened in the last 10 years or so, but that's just me. Yeah, isn't that horrifying? How do you make yourself? That's true. Everything started from something. How do you make yourself eat that? How? I couldn't. There's just no way. I could not. My gag reflex would run me out of that building. I have to tell you, Mars has a crazy gag reflex like mine. And she She's a drug tester. That's her current job while she's saving up for law school. And they test saliva. And oh my God, she's had some experiences. But last week she called me and she said, "Mom, I embarrassed myself so bad today." She goes, "I'm still embarrassed. I don't even know what to do." Apparently, so she's on a construction site, this enormous construction site in Boise, and she said that she has I mean, this is all like blue collar folks, you know, hardworking men and women that have to come in there sometimes for random drug tests, or if they get hurt, or if they're a new hire. There's lots of reasons, but so they get sent in to her for a drug test. And she said, this man sitting across from me at my desk smelled so bad that I openly gagged in his face. She said, I'm so embarrassed. I tried to cover it up with pretending I had hiccups. She said it happened three times. She said my eyes were streaming. I was trying so hard to control myself. Oh my God, isn't that terrible? She said after he left, she had to a coworker sprayed a little perfume on her to try to get the smell out of her nose. Oh God. I feel like I could smell that just from hearing the story. But anyway, the whole time she told me this story, she gagged and retched the whole time she just told me this story. Just thinking about how terrible that was. And honestly, I was so entertained. I still am. Maya says date syrup is great. Oh, interesting. Yeah, where do you find date syrup, Maya? I'm gonna guess at the health food store. Maybe Whole Paycheck. Probably Amazon. I don't know. But that sounds interesting too. What about agave? Do you guys ever do agave? I've never been too offended by that. Anyway, let's get into it. And before that, actually, and by the way, how are you guys? Everybody doing well? The collective energy's been a real roller coaster the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 days. There's been plenty of days that have been more, oh, give me the right phrase. Plenty of days that have been like geared for success. And then it seems like every time we have a good success day, like the next day is some kind of kick in the face that is very slow energy. Today is a chaotic energy day where you probably won't get a hell of a lot done. It's just an interesting dynamic we've had going on for the last little while. Oh, Maya buys it at her grocery store. Nice. Safeway has it. We don't have Safeways anymore. We used to. And health food stores, sure. Lillian, Safeway is her old stomping ground in DC. Yeah. When I was a little kid, there was a Safeway, an old ass Safeway, next door to my grandma's house, my mom's mom. So when we go to grandma's, she'd give us a little bit of change and we could walk next door and buy a little bit of candy at the Safeway. And we always thought that was, we were big time. Yeah. Everybody loved Safeway. But then they closed and tore it down. And now it's a Home Depot. Oh, actually, no, it's a tool store. Anyway, chaotic. Tara says, "Yeah, that's kind of the t today, especially." But yeah, lots of ups and downs. You probably feel like you're a bit bipolar right now because the collective energy has just been all over the map. I've also talked to a lot of people that are feeling somewhat under the weather. Not 100% sick, like not sick enough to go to the doctor or go home from work, but just enough that they don't really have their pizzazz, you know? And that's been kind of just dragging on for a minute. I think that is probably collective energy that's got people feeling pretty heavy. It just seems to be the case. So, I mean, I think the remedy for that, if there is one, is more time outside. A little bit of exercise, a little bit of stretching, movement. Yeah. And maybe doubling down a little bit on things that feel good to you. Yeah, 2 weeks of sick, not sick, same. Yeah. I have days where I'm like, gonna conquer the world. I have so much planned. And then come like noon, that's it. That's what was in the tank. Lillian, you've been tired. Yeah, I'm driving myself crazy. But hey, it's probably fine. Okay, let's start talking about honey. This is a fun topic. I love this topic. I think it's sacred. All right. We'll talk about honey and myth, magic, and ritual. As we know, honey has been used for sweetener long before anyone else had ever tasted anything else sweet. In most parts of the world, they had tasted honey. It was the sweetest thing that you could taste, right? I suspect that ancient people did not use honey the way we use sugar. They used a little bit of honey. We sweeten everything with pounds of sweetener, whereas theirs was very light, a tiny bit. But we're in a very different era. But honey was seen as medicine, nourishment, currency, ritual offering, and sacred symbol. We know that some civilizations believed honey was a gift from the gods or a bridge between earthly and divine worlds. Honey has shown up in ritual for time immemorial. We know that honey appears in myths, scriptures, burial rites, healing practices, fertility ceremonies, and magical traditions across the globe. Could you really come up with anything that connects us more besides water than honey? Ooh, Tara made her own granola with honey. Nice. Ooh, Lillian, she had a bee stinger on the eyelid when she was a kid. Ooh, ouch. That's a miracle you do still like bees after that. So we know that bees have an amazing community, a matriarchal community. We know that bees were mostly viewed with reverence rather than fear. We know that they have highly organized communities. We know that they transform nectar into something entirely new. Have you ever seen a bee collect nectar? It is the tiniest bit. Tiniest bit. It's a tiny animal, right? They get the tiniest bit of nectar. They fly it all the way back to the hive. They basically spit the nectar, else that's the nicest way I can say that, into their process in the hive, right? And somehow from that, by the end of the season, one beehive will have many pounds of honey. The amount of work and the tiny, minute amount of nectar that comes in consistently and constantly from the bees just working constantly is really mind-boggling when you consider that. Ancient people saw bees as messengers between worlds. In some European traditions, I had never heard this before, families practiced a custom known as telling the bees. And when someone in the family died, a family member would visit the hives and share the news with the bees. And failure to do so was bad luck. You had to do it. In a sense, bees were part of the family, or guardians of communication between the living and the dead. That's amazing. What a cool. Cool. I don't know if cool is a fair word. Maybe it is. It's cool to me. Tradition. That makes me want to go outside and start telling the bees some stuff. I don't have a hive anymore, but I sure have bees in my flowers and my trees. Maybe it's time to have some chats. Honey in ancient Egypt, as we know, probably no civilization revered honey more than the Egyptians. Bees in Egyptian mythology, bees were born from the tears of the sun god Ra. As his tears fell to earth, they transformed into bees, who then created honey. So they connected honey directly to the power of the sun itself, or a gift from the gods. Honey was used extensively in temple offerings, religious ceremonies. Priests carried it to present to the gods. Honey was placed in tombs to accompany the dead into the afterlife so that they would have food. The Egyptians used honey in medicine, cosmetics, and embalming practices. A lot of different cultures have used honey as an antiseptic on wounds, which I always thought was interesting. I've never tried it, but I think that's an interesting thought. But historically, we've struggled a little with knowing what to do about germs. We're better with it now, so I don't know that honey's really your best option, but it was used that way a lot. I did used to have hives. Yeah. I wish I still did. It just. Oh, they just. As you know, the honeybees are dying off rapidly, frighteningly, every year. It used to be a topic of conversation that's not as big as it is now. Or it used to be a bigger topic of conversation than it is now, but we're still in a bee crisis. Don't think that we're not, just because we're not hearing about it as much. That's still happening. But one of the bigger problems in beehives or with beekeepers is mites. And the mites in like kept hives, there's a like a pandemic of those, if you'll let me use that word, in this application. But basically there's a problem right now with kept hives, getting mites into them and just being completely unable to do anything about it. You can dust your bees. We've dusted our bees before. They all diet anyway, over and over. I just can't justify the $350 every time you need to buy bees again just for them to die off by the end of the year. It sucks. I wish I had those kinds of hives that some people seem to have that just, keep living, keep going over generations, I've never had a hive like that. I wish I did. Yeah. I wanted to keep bees in the first place to be a part of the solution of dying off honeybees, but it's a tough gig. Maybe someday we'll open our hives back up and get back to it. All right, Greece. The ancient Greeks saw honey as something extraordinary. Honey was associated with wisdom, prophecy, and divine inspiration. Priestesses in certain temples were known as Melissae, a word that translates to bees. And that was basically because of the symbolism of bees moving between flowers, gathering hidden treasures, transforming them into something nourishing, the way their spiritual teachers would do as well. One of the Greek mythology traditions holds that the infant Zeus was nourished with honey while hidden away from his father Cronus. Or Kronos. I've heard it both ways. What do you think? Cronus? Kronos? And then honey and the connection to Greek poetry, to poetic inspiration. To consume honey was to receive the blessings of wisdom and creativity. I was thinking how interesting that is because we still liken reading and writing to sitting with a cup of tea. And a lot of people do put honey in their tea. And maybe on some subconscious level, that's why you love honey in your tea. All of you readers and writers, maybe it's just written in your cells. Honey's a part of your revolution, or maybe it's a part of your routine, whether you realize it or not. Just a thought. All right, let's talk about the Celts. The Celts, they were like, yeah, honey on toast is fine, but hold my beer, right? They started fermenting honey and making mead. Now, we have made mead before. I don't know what to say about mead. It doesn't taste good. At least the mead we made did not taste good. Now, it's true that there's lots of different meads out there, and I bought a chokecherry mead from Montana a few years ago that was amazing. So, you know, maybe it was me. But mead is an interesting drink. Mead a lot of times is just sold like wine, but it's not exactly the same thing. It's made pretty much the same way though, just sweetened with honey rather than sugar. But the idea of mead speaks to me, right? Make an alcoholic beverage that isn't full used and they're not necessarily full of sugar because, you know, the yeast eats the sugars and that's how the alcohol is made. But I struggle with mead and I want to like mead. I want it to be my drink of choice, but it isn't. But just never going to be, apparently. Because gin is. That's why. That's why. But mead had a lot to do with Celtic cultures. It was associated with celebration, fertility, sovereignty, and connection to the other world. Mead's expensive to make because honey is damn expensive. If you're gonna make mead, you're gonna invest quite a bit in your honey. Gin is the lands too. That's why I love you. I One reason. What's your favorite kind of gin, Lillian? Right now, it is Hendrick's for me. I love Hendrick's gin. Pretty much everything they do. And Micah, my oldest, his drink of choice is gin as well. So we bond on gin. Oh, the Costco gin. Yeah, theirs is good. I love, like I said, Hendrick's. Hendrick's Flora gin. Oh my gosh, it's so good. So good. Anyway, but I have a lot of gin because people buy me gin for gifts because they know I love gin, but I drink gin like twice a month. So there's a lot of gin in this house. Dutch gin is very good. Ooh, I'll bet. I could talk gin for a long time. There's a store in Jackson, Wyoming, that it's a taster store, basically. So you go in there and they have all these different whiskeys and gins and vodkas and you can taste anything you want to taste. They give you these little teeny cups and you taste everything that you want, whatever you want to try. And then you tell them what you want, and then it's like their house brands, and they bottle it for you in front of you and send you on your way. They have a tangerine gin that does not suck, but I've tasted a whole bunch of different gins from different countries in there, and it is interesting. Yeah. Really interesting. I think Hendrix is Scottish. Since I can't quit talking about that. We also. Oh, I don't think I can say that on the air. Never mind. We'll keep going. No one watches this show. It doesn't matter. Okay. Mead was known as a communal drink and a ceremonial one. And it was believed that gin would ins or sorry now I have gin on the brain, that mead would inspire poetry, storytelling, and spiritual insight. Skilled mead brewers were very much cherished and honored. If you were skilled at brewing mead, you could work where you wanted and you would likely be poached. But to be able to be like a mead brewer for rulers was a huge honor, and it meant that you were really the best of the best. Also, historians believe the modern world, or word, sorry, honeymoon, originated from a Celtic custom in which newly married couples drank mead for a lunar month following their wedding to encourage fertility, prosperity, and happiness. So basically, here, marry this guy, you're gonna have to be drunk for a month to be able to put up with him. That's what I heard. Land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, let's talk about the symbolism from scripture. Honey appears repeatedly through the Bible. What do we know of the promised land? A land flowing with milk and honey. That phrase has endured for thousands of years. You've heard that phrase, whether you knew where it came from, because it's been used lots of different ways in many different metaphors. But honey also has served as a metaphor for wisdom and spiritual truth. How about Jewish tradition? Honey appears in Jewish scripture as a symbol of blessing, abundance, and divine favor. Honey represented nourishment, prosperity, and joy, and the fulfillment of God's promises. During Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, families dip apples in honey as a prayer for a sweet year ahead. How about in the Quran? Honey is also in, has a place in Islam. In Surah Nahl, known as the bee, bees are described to be creatures guided by God to gather nectar and produce honey. That scripture states that from them becomes a drink of varying colors, wherein is healing for mankind. How about the Hindu tradition? Known as madhu, honey is considered to be one of the sacred substances used in religious offerings and purification rites. It's included in ceremonial mixtures used to bless deities, temples, and worshippers. You'll see a lot of honey in Hindu tradition. Right, let's talk about Norse mythology. Again, they associate honey with poetry, like the Greek. So the mead of poetry was a magical drink that granted extraordinary knowledge and artistic inspiration to those who consumed it. Now, listen, after a few glasses of mead, I feel pretty magical too, and I'm a great dancer. I don't know if this was just drunkenness or if the mead of poetry drink had anything else in it. I'm really curious what other herbs or applications this might have had, but it was a magical drink that was supposed to basically help you get in tune. And now I'm desperate to figure out what that is and try it. I could make it. I know I can. But should I? We'll find out. I'm going to do more research. Honey and folk magic. Okay, this is a tradition. I've seen this before. I've never done it, but I think this is such a cool idea. So the honey jar. So here's, this has been in different folk magic. Let's try again. Folk magic traditions with different, a little different applications, but basically the idea is you take a small jar of honey and it's used symbolically to sweeten relationships. So literally you place your intention in the jar and surround it with sweetness. How? You write things down. Or you could take an effigy. So say you have something that is symbolic of maybe the person, which in folk magic could have been a bit of hair or a bit of cloth or something like that. For me, I would probably just write their name down, and then you stuff it down in your honey pot and you leave it there. That's supposed to help bring peace to difficult situations, and sweeten relationships, encourage harmony, attract kindness, things like that. Interesting, right? I think it's worth a try. I really do. I think that's a pretty interesting tradition. All right. Again, I was thinking about how a bee can't make honey from a single flower. It gathers the tiny drops of nectar from countless blossoms and countless bees, and each trip contributes a tiny bit. I think it is a lot like our own spiritual growth, or growth in anything. Maybe in the classroom while you're busy, filling the kilns up with complete shit. No single effort is particularly significant on its own. That's how honey is made, right? It's the product that comes from an enormous amount of work from many helping hands or wings, as it were. But what about you? Every time you put a little bit of nectar in the hive, you continue to grow and grow and grow, and that turns into something extraordinary over time. We are such a right now society that I think it's hard for us sometimes to create in a way that makes sense while giving ourselves the space that we need and the time that we need to become good at things. We've moved far away from mastering things. When you see people that are a master, like of their craft, it used to be that you were a master of your craft after you'd been doing it for 30 years, 40 years. Now we want to master everything right out of the gate. And if you can't, there is some kind of shame associated with that. We need to push back against that and give ourselves all of the time and space that we need to learn and to slowly start mastering small things that turn into big things. So there you go. That is Spiritual Lessons of Honey. In Kelly's Three Feminist History, she has an article for Pride Month. This is about how Pride Month came to be, talking about the Stonewall Uprising in 1969 and other things. But it's a great article. Go ahead and find it. Or, well, find it. It's here. And read it. And if you click on this pink link right here, it's a hyperlink that says catch up on podcast episodes. You can find the podcast episode with her and Lisa talking about it as well. Good stuff. All right, my tip this week is honey in healing traditions. Some of the ways that honey is for healing. It soothes sore throats. Anytime someone's got a dry cough or a raw cough or raw sore throat, what do? You need some honey, right? I've made cough syrup out of honey and lemon and ginger before, and it's really pretty dang effective. Honey is helpful for sore throats. You can't deny it. A lot of cough drops that you buy, commercial ones, have honey in them. I've also made a hard, kind of a hard candy type thing that you'd like bring to hard crack boil out of honey before that is really good for sore throats. So yes, I would say yes on that. Wounds and skin healing. Again, I have never spread honey on a wound, but I know that some cultures that's still a form of healing. I know that's an ancient form of healing. Supports digestion. Like my doctor said, honey soothes the digestive tract, supports healthy gut function, and may ease indigestion. Promotes restful sleep. A spoonful of honey before bed can help calm the nervous system and support deeper sleep. I didn't know that, and I wish I did when my kids were little. I had good sleepers anyway, really, but still, when you're a desperate parent that just really wants a kid to go to bed, what if it was as easy as a bit of honey on toast? Or just a little bit of honey off of a spoon? Interesting. Or for us. But again, that takes me back to tea. Honey and tea at bedtime? Maybe so. I did see Mary Poppins. That's true. Well, but wasn't hers a spoonful of sugar? True, though. I hear you. Boosts immunity. Yes, we've heard this lots of times, especially and as well as I it didn't make this list, but local honey for allergies, spring allergies. Packed with antioxidants and natural enzymes that help the body fight illness and stay strong. And then energy and vitality, a natural source of quick, lasting energy to nourish body and mind without the crash. Mica has long been known for keeping bread and a jar of peanut butter and a bottle of honey in his work truck so that he can just throw together a sandwich quick. Because it keeps him going. And I think that was a trick that he had in college football that's just carried over to regular life for him. Okay, Christie's energy exercise is the Divine Spark. Plenty of crime over at True Crime Squad, always. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And there you go. That is Luminous this week. Huh? Interesting. I guess it's one of those things you just assume kids will like because it's sweet. Well, there you go. You love the silvery, sparkly meditation? You did it already? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, so there you go. Next time you reach for your honey, maybe we'll make you think twice about some interesting things that we know about honey and also just its connection, the way honey connects us maybe to each other, that we are all one in all directions of time. And unfortunately, I have to cut us a little bit short today because I have somewhere to be. But there was no way I was missing the show, so I decided to just do a show that was about 10 minutes brief, but that's fine. Really glad to be here. I want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at onetolisten.com, and you can find me over there every single day. If you head over to onetolisten.com and I'm not there, just do a callback request. That way I get a text that lets me know someone's waiting, and I'll get signed back in and over to help you out as quickly as I can. So, thank you. I'll be back next week with some tales about the wedding. Thanks for being here, you guys. You make my day. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.